This is VK3J this, Tony this way, yeah. And today we'll be speaking about the integration of IRLP and Echolink. As everyone here knows, but VoIP has become a lot more important than the net, and it's also got a lot more important that the various systems work together, especially IRLP and Echolink. They are the most popular systems in the areas that we cover, typically North America at this time, and the situation down here in VK is pretty much the same. So this conference, if you look at the opening screen, this particular presentation was first presented at the IRLP conference in Las Vegas in the middle of last month, and it was repeated at the VoIP WeatherNet meeting over in Nacogdoches on the 23rd of April. Just a brief rundown of what we'll get through to. Look at IRLP and Echolink and how we can join them together. A little bit on dual system nodes and Echo IRLP. I'm going to gloss over some of those points and I'll focus more on the later part, leaking nets with analog gateways, digital links, and the integrated conference, and then a little bit on practicalities and looking to the future. Okay, on to the next slide. Yeah, the next slide deals with the differences between IRLP and Echolink. Although they do much the same thing, they both generate packets in response to RF traffic, and RF traffic in response to packets, and allow you to link repeaters and links over long distances. And a lot of them by design. IRLP is designed as a system for RF links only, and you can't access IRLP from your feed. Echolink does permit you to access it from the PC, unlike IRLP. Again, that's by design. Yeah, IRLP uses a PGP-based authentication system that's quite strict underneath, and the IRLP node owners have to contact the installation team to receive those PGP keys, so IRLP is a very tightly controlled system. Echolink, on the other hand, does a lot of validation against online call sign databases, such as those issued by the FCC, the ACO and other government agencies. However, they do hand validate some applications. Quite a number of them, it seems, these days are hand validated. And Echolink uses a password login that's encrypted. So there's no having to pre-arrange access with the Echolink scene. And these technical difficulties have resulted in some quite significant cultural differences between IRLP and Echolink, which has been the source of quite a bit of tension. Anyway, on to the next slide, which is guidelines for interoperation. I'll take a pause while everyone switches over. Yeah, one of the problems is all these cultural differences. Only keep the RF in radio, keep the radio in radio that the IRLP has often say, and the Echolink of, let's move beyond radio and allow PCs, and let's look after the older hams in their retirement homes who can't put up antennas, and give them a PC so they can talk to the world. Yeah, all these have become significant differences, and they cause a lot of conflict when you just try and connect networks together willy-nilly without taking that into consideration. In late 2002, I did document some guidelines, and I can give the URL if anyone asks at the end of the presentation. And those guidelines are designed to overcome most of the cultural differences, and not to force the IRLP or Echolink on someone that doesn't want it. So based on the guidelines, the effect the acceptable scenario for combining IRLP and Echolink are a dual system node, that's one node can handle multiple networks, so either IRLP or Echolink, but not both at the same time. And yeah, Echo IRLP is an example of that. Or we can link IRLP and Echolink conferences, which is done quite frequently. Or we can combine the IRLP and Echolink conference into one server. The reason conferences are okay to link together is they're passive, they accept incoming traffic, but they don't generate traffic. And of course, the big one for us too, in addition, emergency communications, basically a requirement for emergencies to override just about everything else. Anyway, a short break before we move on to the next slide. Okay, early dual system nodes were basically built from first principles. What people did was they took a Linux PC running IRLP, and they took an Echolink PC running PC running Windows and Echolink, and they often fed them both on the one repeater, you know, with separate radios, where the Echolink node and the IRLP node had their own radios, and they both fed the one repeater. More sophisticated systems, they actually used one radio and had the two PCs in the same shack, and put a bit of control logic to allow them to share the radio. Big problem with these is cross-linking can happen without warning because there's no signalling between the two PCs. So if IRLP is up and someone comes on Echolink, there can be a crosslink that's not intentional, and under certain circumstances, particularly on some of the major reflectors, that can be an issue. In addition, many of these systems allow DTMF access for the foreign network, so you can connect on Echolink to one of these gateways, and if you can generate DTMF, you can call an IRLP node. That's a big problem, because that really ignores all the cultural differences, so a good system should not allow that. And finally, the audio quality is compromised because there's a lot more things in the path, especially if you're using it as a gateway, but the RF based ones may have a lot of radios in the path and all of that. Anyway, short break. Yeah, moving on to the next slide. The next slide talks about Echo IRLP, which has been around a couple of years now. Basically, Echo IRLP was born out of necessity. I had one antenna, three ports on the triplexer, and I was using two for VoIP, so I just simply wanted to economise and use one port for IRLP and Echolink. I didn't want to drop by the network. So Echo IRLP, it's a set of scripts that are added onto an IRLP node that allow it to connect also to any Echolink node, but as a native Echolink node. It uses one machine and uses the IRLP interface to allow you to connect to both systems. All the scripts have lockout, so if you're on IRLP, you cannot connect to Echolink, and Echolink node cannot connect to you while you're on IRLP. They'll get a busy signal. If you're on Echolink and an IRLP node tries to connect, same thing. The IRLP caller in that case will get a busy signal. So there's no way the two systems can be accidentally cross-linked. And it uses the bridge, or TBD as the binary is known, which is the bridge software, the same software that is running all the Echolink conference servers, to the local gateway between the IRLP system that's controlling the hardware and the Echolink network. And on the next slide, you'll see a diagram of the Echolink block diagram, the Echo IRLP block diagram. Just short break. Yeah, and you can see that Echo IRLP sits between IRLP and TBD. Notice that Echo IRLP only handles all the control signals between the two processors. The audio is actually passed directly from the IRLP binaries to TBD. And then, of course, TBD does all the talking to the echoing network. So, in concept, Echo IRLP is quite simple. Short break. And move on to the next slide. Yeah, in the next slide, we're starting to talk about linking entire networks, not just the fuel system node. We're now linking networks such as we do for the VOIP Hurricane Net. The first type of crosslink, and the one that we used for 2003 and also 2004, is the analog gateway. Very simple in concept. If you look at the little diagram on this slide, you'll see you've got an IRLP node connected to an IRLP reflector, and you've got an EchoLink node connected to a link conference, and yeah, those two are cross-coupled, PTT and COS, as well as the audio link lines are cross-coupled to pass all the signalling across that link. So that's an analog gateway. There is still one analog gateway that I know of in service, which is the New England network. It is currently running an analog gateway, and it operates exactly on this principle. If we move over to the next slide, after a short break. On this slide, we'll see the problems with analog gateways. Analog gateways work. They're quite simple to put together. And in fact, we are looking at having them as a backup strategy for this particular network as well. But they do have a few problems. The first one is that because there are at least two audio compression and decompression cycles, because the gateway PC decompressed past to the other gateway PC, and on the other side then recompressed, that quite significantly degrades audio quality passing through the link. Secondly, there's jitter buffers on the receiving side cause considerable latency. You can tune it out on the echoing side and reduce it by a second or so, but there's still, even if you do that, there's still at least a second or two latency crossing the gateway. On a busy network, that causes traffic conflicts. And I have actually heard on the old analog system two separate QSOs on each side of the bridge, even though it was connected. Next issue is an analog gateway requires two extra PCs doing nothing but holding up their end of the gateway. So it's more money to throw at it, and two extra PCs, that means that more things to break down, so reliability goes downhill. However, analog gateways have one big advantage that everything else that follows doesn't have. They can be implemented at short notice without any administrators having to reconfigure their systems. So that means that if you want to link an IRLP reflector to an EchoLink conference, and you can't get a hold of, say, Danny if it's on 9210 or any of the sub-channels, and you want to quickly throw a link up because something's gone pear-shaped here, you can put up your analog gateway on the IRLP side, put up the EchoLink side of the gateway to an EchoLink conference, and you're up and away without having to wonder where on earth Danny or whoever the conference happened to be. So that's the big advantage of an analog gateway. Short break before moving on to the next slide. Yeah, on the next slide, we look at digital interconnections. And how that works is that we get rid of those two gateway PCs, and we have the EchoLink conference, which is of course running the bridge, actually initiate an outbound speak freely connection, which is the protocol that IRLP uses for audio. and that speak freely connection goes to a GSM IRLP reflector. Note that in the digital link, the reflector has to be a GSM, and 80 PCM one won't work. And this is in fact the very reason that the VoIP Hurricane Net moved from 9210, which is an 80 PCM channel, to 9219 late last year. That was to accommodate the digital link. But as you can see, very simple, the conference on the right connects to the reflector on the left, and traffic has passed in a digital stream straight across the internet. Up until last week, this was how 9219 and WeatherTalk were connected. That wasn't until last week. This week is different, as you'll find out in a minute. Short break before the next slide. Yeah, okay, a couple of issues of digital links, good and bad. The first is the audio is not decoded and recoded as part of the gateway. In fact, all it's done is the echo link transport headers are removed. The data's then packed into a speak freely transport and shipped off to the IRLP node or IRLP reflector, and vice versa. This means that there's less audio degradation. In fact, there's none in the digital site. The audio is not touched at all, so it passes unaltered across the link. There's lower latency because all you're doing is shuffling packets, you're not decoding and reassembling audio and putting it back together. And as those of you who are net regulars know, that means it is extremely difficult to tell whether an originating station is on IRLP or echo link. It truly does make a level playing field. As I said before, the IRLP stations must use the GSM codec for the digital link to work. This is because echo link only uses GSM, it doesn't use any other codec. And as you saw in the previous diagram, traffic passes directly between IRLP and echo link networks. There's no intermediate systems. A short break before the next slide. Okay, the next slide deals with integrated conference, which I will add is the technology that we are using from today's net onwards. The integrated conference is a modified IRLP reflector. In fact, even the echo link guys tonight are connecting to reflector 9219 as far as they're on the same physical box. I'll just talk a little bit about the standard IRLP reflector. It actually consists of 10 reflectors running on concurrently on 10 separate sets of ports, which of course are channel 0 through to channel 9. Each of those channels runs a copy of a program called SF Reflect, which is the actual conference server that handles the IRLP nodes. What the integrated conference does is it replaces one of those copies of SF Reflect, in this case the copy that corresponds to channel 9, with the bridge or TBD, which is also capable of accepting IRLP connections. In addition, the copy of the bridge also does a few extra things to meet the requirements of the reflector as far as maintaining IRLP connectivity and that sort of stuff. Now, we don't have two systems, we don't have a conference and a reflector, we have one integrated system, so the reliability of this is very high. And if it's like 9219 and it's in a data center with good bandwidth and redundant power supplies, full backup power, hardened site, it's very, very reliable. Also, those of you who are on EchoLink, if you look at your station list on the top right corner, you'll notice all these stations STN with a four-digit number. And in fact, you'll see that I've got the key down STN 6390. If you look closely, they are the IRLP nodes. Each one shows up individually. Short break. Yeah, with the IRLP notes showing up individually, it's opened up even more possibilities. First, it allows us to administer the conference using both EchoLink and IRLP admin tools. That's not fully in place, but will be brought into place in the last few months, so that you can kick and bean notes from either side, and it will propagate through without any problem at all. It also allows, this is a big one for the VIP WeatherNet, IRLP notes to be muted. So you can do dot mute and the STN 1234 if it was that node was causing problems. And that node will be muted just like it was an EchoLink node. This, of course, is a huge advantage for the VIP Hurricane Net because muting is the most common operation. And of course, having all nodes capable of being controlled from the one side, means we don't need as many admins. We only need one admin running EchoLink will basically be able to manage the network. It's a lot simpler from an admin and net control point of view. Short break and on to the next slide. There is the VK3JD with the IRLP EchoLink integration presentation for the VIP WeatherNet. And on the next slide, those of you who are running EchoLink have already seen this in your EchoLink client, but if you're not running EchoLink, if you're running if you're on an IRLP node or you're on an RF node, this will be the first time you've seen how the integration works, but this slide is a screenshot of EchoLink. And you'll see in the top right hand corner of the screenshot, you'll see two stations. The top one is my IRLP node. It was done during a test connection to the system we use for development. So the top one is how an IRLP node looks. The second station is simply my PC running EchoLink. So you can see an IRLP node and an EchoLink node sitting side by side in the same conference. Anyway, I'll move on to the next slide and look at some of the practical uses for crosslinks, which most of you guys know. Emergencies, obviously. VIP Hurricane Skywarn Net. I think we all know what that is. We're on it at the moment. Also to provide regional coverage. New England Network is an example of a network that is a focal point for a particular region. That network is also used for emergency purposes as well. And special events, the 2003-9/11 net. Probably the biggest crosslink I can remember actually had three of the four major VIP systems all crosslinked. IRLP, EchoLink and EQSO. So it was all done with analog gateways back then. But quite a spectacular net. Short break. We're getting down to the tail end. And on to the next slide, which is titled Looking to the Future. These are things that may happen down the track, and it all depends on who has the bug to do what and who has time to do what, and what priority people think around, that's the amateurs, the users, everyone place on that piece of these things. And some of the possibilities include possibly extending the digital interconnection idea to EQSO. And I did some time ago speak with the current maintainer of the EQSO code base, who also maintains EQSOX, which is the Linux port. The possibility of making that cable being linked to IRLP or the bridge. And then of course if we're having multiple systems linking, perhaps we should establish a standard for linking between systems so we can plug IRLP into EchoLink or into Wires 2 or EQSO or something that hasn't been developed yet. Having a standard would give all developers, including commercial ones, something concrete to implement. Then, of course, another thing comes in, should there be an addressing standard, so it's easy to find or easy to identify multiple nodes when they're in shared conferences, or if you're on a node that supports three or four systems, an easy way to know what network you're going out on. Cooperation between the stakeholders, that's from the user. Okay, we're on backup. Good thing I have backup radios when they go flat. Yeah, saying cooperation between all the stakeholders, from end users through to developers, administrators, both of the entire network, and also of individual systems. This allows rapid development. In fact, that's one of the key things has been cooperation. Several key people, particularly Split WB6YMH, who does a lot of the coding for the bridge, technical code for the bridge. Dave Cameron, V7LTD, has been very helpful with incorporating some of the changes into the IRLP code base. And several other people. And of course, the limitation is the imagination of the hand community. And finally, some acknowledgements on the final slide. So if you go to the acknowledgement slide, you'll see them as well. And these are some of the people who have played a key role. Dave Cameron, V7LTD, without whom we wouldn't have IRLP. And Dave, in recent time, has been very, very helpful with making some of this possible, including giving me the innards of the reflectors, how they work, etc., etc. Jonathan Taylor, K1RSD, who, of course, wrote EchoLink. Skip Anton, WB6YMH, who wrote the bridge. Skip is an excellent example of an open source developer, and always open to new ideas and always quick to implement them, even when he's busy. Pete Elmire, BK2YX, who runs the update server for Echo IRLP, which all Echo IRLP names depend on. Kent Johnson, W7AOR, who provided the test reflector for the first incarnation of the integrated conference. This one we're using as the second. All the Echo IRLP developers, including Dave K7SLY and Marcus WA2DCI, and many others who contributed code to Echo IRLP. And all you guys out there who have offered feedback and made it worth even doing. Anyway, that concludes the presentation. This is VK3JD on the VoIP WeatherNet. Before I hand it back to the net control, do we have any questions? Okay, some people are saying it's been a bit difficult to download, which is a bit surprising because the actual site is at the core of one of our major networks over here. With at least 100 megabits a second bandwidth, so there shouldn't be any congestion unless there's a problem somewhere in between on the internet, but the site is on a very big pipe, so it's not a problem. So anyway, that's the innards of the technology that we're using and how it's evolved. So we are now on a nice brand new integrated conference, and you'll have to get used to all these weird stations sharing alongside those who are in EchoLink. Anyway, looks like no further questions. I'll pass it back to Net Control, KB9WOB, VK3JB.